Thank you, Vanessa. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church on this last Sunday of the year, the last day of the year. It's amazing that we're already looking at a brand new year, and I'm excited about a brand new year. It's fresh, it's clean, it's ready for us to attack, and I pray that God will help all of us to make the most of 2018. I want to encourage you to sign up for Launch. Because Launch is a great way for you to get involved and grow and learn and make this year a year where you pursue the Lord. Make this year a year where you grow and develop your spiritual walk with God. And Launch is just intended to help you. It all starts with God's Word. That's where it starts. That's the beginning place. And so I hope that you will be a part of it, and that you'll go away today having already been signed up and ready to go, and we'll kick that off. The date, I think, is January the 8th, and so we're really excited about that, looking forward to that. You know, this morning, there's an amazing fact in the Scripture, and that is that we are all created to pursue something in our life. We have this unsettled heart of ours that is seeking some type of satisfaction. And so it's only natural for us to pursue something. Some will pursue pleasure because they think that pleasure is going to bring them that peace, that calmness and that contentment. Some will pursue money because they're convinced that when you pursue money, that money is going to give them things that money cannot buy. There are those who will pursue fame, and that's because they want acceptance and recognition and identity. And so they'll pursue fame and do what they can to get that for their life. Some will pursue relaxation, thinking that if they can just relax more and get more off of them and take the pressure off, that they'll be so much better off and so much better satisfied. The question I want to ask you is, what are you going to pursue in 2018? Here's a fact. Let me give you the fact. It is not a matter of if I am going to pursue something. It is what am I going to pursue. You're going to pursue something. All of us are. We find in the Scriptures, remarkably, that God pursues sinners. When you get to Genesis chapter 3, you're going to find that when Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, that God pursued after them. And when God came to them, God allowed them in that pursuit when he found them. And really, it wasn't that God didn't know where they were. It's just they didn't know where they were. And when God found them, then God dealt with their hearts, and the pursuit changes. In other words, what happens at that point is that now they are pursuing God. You see, really, here's how it works. Responding to God's pursuit of us by pursuing him back is the purpose of life. It's where we are as Christians. There is an instinctual desire to pursue God. There's that within us. We want that, and that's built within our human constitution that we want to pursue. We're designed to pursue God, to pursue after God. Only he can give us the meaning, and only he can give us a purpose in life. You say, where do you get that from? Well, here's a verse in Acts. Here's what the Bible says. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. Now notice this, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. In other words, what God is saying is that we're designed. That's what our instinct is. And that unsettled feeling that you may be struggling with in your heart today, even maybe about a new year, about a new job or a relationship, or maybe just where you are with God and you're standing with God, you're trying to understand, what is that? What is that emptiness inside? What is that drive that you have? And God says, that is that which God has placed within us that we might pursue Him. In Genesis, we're introduced to a man by the name of Abram, or Abraham. If you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11, let me help you to get up to speed with what these verses deal with. In Hebrews chapter 11, he's talking about a man who, in the book of Genesis, we're first introduced to. Abraham represents one who is seeking God. The Bible tells us that he was that he and his family lived in Ur, and they went down to Canaan, and in seeking and following after what his father chose to do, the Bible said that it was there that God developed a relationship with Abraham. God had sought after Abraham, and now God is being pursued by Abraham. But by the way, just to let us be aware that not all of us naturally, before we meet God, pursue after God. I mean, it's only for us that we don't realize it, but we have no desire for God. Our pursuits are more like toward other things, and we have that inner emptiness, and we think it can be filled because Satan brings a lot of things along the way. There's a lot of substitutes that come along the way, and a lot of imitation saviors that come to us and say, you know what, we're going to give you satisfaction, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. Paul writes about that. Here's what he says. And Paul says that, he says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's us. None seek after God. The seeking that we have for God starts when we have a relationship with Him. The moment that God comes into our heart, into our life, now the seeking starts that we want to know God, and we want to know God more. We want to know God more completely. You see, we didn't know that we didn't know God, and we didn't understand where that was, and we didn't understand that emptiness in our heart. And so the Bible says that when we develop that relationship, the seeking for God and that journey and that relationship and the deepness of that relationship is started the moment we receive Christ. Abraham started seeking God. And turn in your Bibles there to Hebrews 11. If you're already there, let me call your attention to verse number 8. And notice what the Bible says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, that would be the land of promise, the place of promise, which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out. And not knowing whither he went, he wasn't sure where he was coming or going or where he was to go or what he was looking for, but he went out to this place. Let's read on. Verse number 9. By faith, in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. This place of promise is where God is going to bless the nation. Look at verse 10. The Bible said, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham left and followed and pursued, but he didn't know what he was looking for. I'm sure all of us have been like this. Any of you ever had this where you said, I'm hungry, but I don't know what I want to eat. Anyone ever had something like that? I do that every now and then. I tell Jen, I say, you know, I'm hungry. She says, well, what do you want? I says, I don't know. But, you know, in California, we're pretty fortunate because we live around all kinds of restaurants around here. You know, there's Italian, Italian. Okay, you don't like it. There's Mexican, there's Filipino, there's Middle Eastern, there's Indian. I mean, whatever you want, you have it. In California, we're pretty fortunate. But sometimes we don't know what we want. We're hungry for something, we don't know what it is. That's Abraham. He wasn't sure, he wasn't exactly clear on what this hunger, this desire, whatever this is inside of him, but he knew that he needed to be satisfied. And by the way, that's where a lot of people are today. They're trying to find this satisfaction, and they think if they could just get marry this person or have this house or drive this car or live in this particular neighborhood or have this job or whatever, that that's going to bring satisfaction. But God is trying to show us through the life of Abraham, that's not what brings satisfaction. Satisfaction comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says it like this: "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Abraham represents something that all of us in our life is looking for. He represents mankind, and you and me in particular, this restless spirit inside of us, looking for that which can only satisfy. And that is, he pursued the Lord. I want to challenge you this year, this brand new year, that you make this year your pursuit of the Lord. That you decide this year that, you know, for you, that while all these things around you may be going on and they may be trying to get your attention, that you just decide, you know, right now, I just want to make my spiritual walk with God a priority. I want to be the first thing. I want to be that which you know, and we'll talk about in just a moment, and we get to the end here, we'll look at what that looks like. But understand that God has put this desire, this unsettled feeling in your heart. And for those of you who know Christ, there's no doubt about it that it's there. It's that yearning to want to know him more completely. There are three reasons that Abraham, the Bible says, pursued God. And let me give them to you. Number one, the call to pursue. He was called by God, the Bible says. In Hebrews 11, verse number 8, we just looked at it. The Bible said that he was called by God. The call came from God to move ahead. To not just to kind of sit and relax and try to be comfortable, but move ahead. It would have been easy for Abraham to have said no to God. But for Abraham, he realized that this call was something that God was most concerned about. And I'm going to tell you this, that God's calling all of us to move ahead in our walk with him too. You know, it's real easy for us to get comfortable where we are spiritually. It's easy for us to kind of get, you know, because, and I think the reason why we get like that is because it seems like there's so many pressures in life. Have you noticed how pressurized the society we live in? I mean, the struggles that we have to deal with and the heartaches, it seems like everything that we try to do anymore is very complicated. And so there's stresses that come with that. And so it's very easy for us to say, you know what, I'm fighting all these battles, I'm fighting all that. It's just really easy for me to just sit and relax spiritually and not have to deal with all that. But God says, wait a minute, hold on. He says, I want you to move forward in your walk with me, but he's saying this, I'm going to give you the grace to accomplish that. He was called by God. God calls every one of us to do that. You say, where do you get that from? In the Bible. 2 Peter 3 at verse 18 and 19 says this, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Something interesting, Abraham's call did not just affect him personally, it affected many people. His call affected his family. His call affected the future of the nation. And I'm going to be honest with you, His call affected Christianity as we know it today. It affected you. His call affected so many people more than he can ever imagine. And I'm going to tell you something. When God calls you to move ahead, it's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your community. It's going to affect people around you. And it may even affect the future of your family as you respond to God's call, just as Abraham did. In March of 1876, Alexander Graham Bell perfected the invention called the telephone. And he made his first phone call. Interesting about Alexander Graham Bell, that his mother had a hearing problem. And so he began to experiment with hearing instruments, which led him to the telephone. Eventually, he married a woman who was deaf. So he was concerned about hearing. And so this had led him to this pursuit of trying to put together a communication device to be able to communicate two ways. Little did anybody ever realize, and even Alexander Graham Bell when he died, I don't think he realized the impact that the invention of the telephone would have on the future of our world. But by the way, the reason why we have some of the technology, it all traces back to the one decision that Alexander Graham Bell made, that he might be able to create and invent an instrument that could be used where there's a two-way conversation. And because of that, it's revolutionized technology. Now, I don't really think about his spiritual life, but I do know this. Every decision we make spiritually is going to affect somebody else besides ourselves. God is calling us. The Bible says that. God is calling and saying, I have huge plans for your life. I have something I want to do for you. And as we begin a new year, I believe that God is calling every one of us in here to pursue Him. Now here's the thing. All of you are going to pursue something. Make the decision today to say, you know what? I want God. I want God to be my pursuit. I want my spiritual life to be what God would have it to be. Winston Churchill said this, it is not enough to have lived. We should be determined to live for something. And I want to ask you this, will you live for God in 2008? We decide that, you know, for me, my priority is God. My spiritual life is Him. I want to make sure that for me, I'm going to line up everything under His will and what He wants. Just as God had called Abraham to do something that Abraham probably never realized the impact anymore than Alexander Graham Bell realized the impact, God is showing us that He has such a big plan for our life, and it could have a great effects on our family if we're willing to answer whatever God's call is. There's the second reason, is the faith to pursue God. You see, God has given us the faith to pursue Him. I mean, that when we trusted Christ to save, when we accepted Jesus, when we realized that we were sinners and we couldn't go to heaven on our own, and we called upon Him and He saved us, God gave us now a new relationship, and that was through faith in Jesus Christ. That faith now is living faith. In fact, did you notice in these three verses, faith is mentioned twice. It refers to believing God, taking God at His word. I can only imagine what Noah must have felt like when God had called Noah to build the ark. God had told Noah that He's going to destroy the earth by the waters of a flood. I'm sure Noah probably said, what's a flood? He said, I want you to build an ark. What's an ark? He didn't have an internet to go Google search and try to find out what an ark is. He had to do what God had told him to do. He took God at His word. And think with me carefully. He built that, and it took him 100 years to build it. It was a large structure. And maybe some of you, I think a couple of people have mentioned, they had been to the kind of the, I guess, the Ark exhibit that's in Kentucky or somewhere nearby there, right in that area, where you can go and actually see a full replica of the Ark and what the dimensions were according to the Bible. But he built this Ark. It took him 100 years. And God told him to get on the Ark and get his family on the Ark. And they got on the Ark. And I'm sure even with that, he probably didn't quite understand. I mean, why would I have to take all these animals and get on the Ark? But God had a plan. He took God at his word. And for Abraham, it might seem strange, but look at him. He had followed God's word. God had told him, go. Now remember, they didn't have GPSs. There were no service stations and 7-Elevens you could stop to get a drink along the way. There were none of the things that we're accustomed to today. There were no motels and restaurants and road signs and tour guides and any of those things that we're used to. But God had called him to go to a strange land. Now I want to tell you, when God speaks, when God moves our hearts and God calls us, it's not always clear where God's leading us, but God certainly has a place for us. 2018, will you take God at his word? Take God at his word. I know that in a society and a culture in which we live, it seems strange to hear that, because it used to be a man's handshake was his word. But in 2017-18, we're now talking about taking God his word, and people are like, I don't know, I can't trust anybody. You can trust God, because God never fails. You can trust God's word because God's word never fails. That's what it means to pursue God by faith. Pursuing God by faith. But then there's when I look at the third reason is the desire to pursue God. The Bible said he looked. I don't know what that look was, but the Bible said he was looking for a city. But he wasn't looking for just any city. He wasn't just like, man, get me to the city somewhere. He was looking for a specific city. And the Bible said that he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. What is it about that? I'll tell you what it is. He wanted to go to a place where God dwells. He wanted to be there where God is there. In other words, if you're going to go seek and you want to find a place, you want to find a place where God is. Now, obviously, we're talking about physical here for Abraham, but ultimately, it was referring to a spiritual city. Because a spiritual city is, of course, heaven, and that's what he's talking about. And no doubt about it, for all of us, we are ultimately, we know that city, if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, it's waiting for us on the other side. I'm excited about going to heaven. How about you? Amen? Knowing that Jesus is there, knowing that some of our loved ones are there, knowing that some of our people that we love dearly are there, we know that. But the best part is God's there. But spiritually speaking, we want to look for that place where God is, where God dwells. That desire that you have in your heart is the desire to pursue the dwelling where God is. The Bible says it like this: he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, if we can just find God's dwelling place and go there spiritually, our lives will be enriched. This is a walk of faith. To get there where God wants us to dwell, we must keep in mind that this hunger inside can only be filled when we get to that place. He brings total satisfaction. He brings that for us, spiritually speaking. One man said this: the problem isn't that we don't have enough time for Jesus. The problem is that we don't make time for Jesus. I'm going to tell you this year, if you pursue God and make time for Jesus, he will be found. He will allow you to find him. It is in 2018 when we pursue God, that hunger that's in our heart can be filled through him. Jesus says it like this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking him. When you seek Jesus first, when he is the way that, when you're pursuing the eternal things, just as Abraham did, that you're pursuing eternity and eternal things. And that doesn't mean that you stop living here and only think of heaven, but it means that you focus on what God is concerned about in our life, in our relationship with him. He said it makes all the difference in the world. That's where peace is. That's where the calmness is. My question to you today is, what will you pursue in 2018? Will you choose to pursue him this year like you've never done before? I mean, the pursuit means that we decide that we're going to spend a definite time with God every day. Now, it doesn't have to be long. You know, sometimes when you hear messages like this, I guess people in their mind conjure up this idea that, well, I'm supposed to sit around and pray and talk to God for 3 hours a day? No. I'm not saying that would be a bad thing, but I'm not saying that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if we just set aside a time, sometime each day with God, where we, whether it's 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever it is, that we set aside a time with God every day. And we let God speak to us and we talk to God. It's in those quiet moments when some of the most important decisions in our lives are going to be formed and shaped. Things about our life, our family, our future, our jobs, how to get along with our neighbors, some of the struggles that we might deal with in our own life, all of those are there. Will you make 2018 a time when you say, you know what, I'm going to set aside some time with God? But then will you make church attendance a priority rather than a convenience? Strangely enough, but it seems like that we say it's important, but yet we make it almost like a convenience for us. Well, if we can get to it, will you decide this year that you're going to be faithful to God's house? You see, God never intended you to live your Christian life alone out here. He intended you to be gathering with God's people on Sunday so you can have corporate worship together and help each other grow together and pray for one another. It's how God designed it. That's how the Christian life works. Will you decide that no matter what, even unless I'm ill or obviously on vacation or whatever I have to do, you know, sometimes I know work interferes with that too as well, but other than that we'll make church a priority for us in the new year. It'll make a difference. It will make a difference if we pursue the Lord. If you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, will you decide today you'll start with God? Start today. Accept Jesus Christ, his free gift of salvation, his free gift of a home in heaven, and that is that we call upon him and ask him to be our personal savior. We accept what he did for us by dying on the cross and let him be our Lord and Savior. Would you do that today? See, 2018 can be the greatest year of our life. And I'm going to tell you where it's going to settle to. One big thing. What are you pursuing? If you pursue God, if you pursue after him, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be the greatest year of your life because he's going to give you fulfillment that you've never had before. May God help us to pursue the Lord in 2018. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we think about Abraham's life, he represents all of us. Lord, how that you have called.